This is The Guardian.
I'm Noor Haidar, coming to you from Gadigal land, and this is the full story.
Once one of the most influential media identities in Australia is now under arrest over allegations he indecently assaulted multiple young men.
Alan Jones has pleaded not guilty. He's facing 22 charges.
The 83-year-old was taken into custody when detectives executed a search warrant at his Sydney apartment.
Did you prey on young men? How do you defend yourself against?
I have never indecently assaulted these people. These allegations are all either baseless or they distort the truth.
At a Sydney court today, the trial of former talkback radio host Alan Jones begins. The veteran broadcaster is facing 22 indecent and sexual assault charges spanning a nearly two-decade period. Today, media correspondent Amanda Mead on The Crown versus Alan Belford Jones. It's Monday, the 3rd of August. Amanda, welcome.
Hi, Noor.
It's nice to have you in studio, and we know that it's taken many, many months to get to this point. The trial of Alan Jones will begin at Sydney's Downing Centre Local Court. You've been keeping across all the developments since the charges were first laid almost 2 years ago now. So I'm keen to go through with you what we know as hearings are getting underway. First of all, what's he on trial for?
He's on trial for historic sexual assault and sexual touching charges that date between 2003 and 2020, which is a period of time that he was also the biggest breakfast radio star.
How many charges is he facing, and what do we know about the allegations?
So there's a total of 22 charges. There are 20 assault with an act of indecency and 2 sexual touching charges. And they're different because the definition of the crime changed over time.
You have been in court for pre-trial along with other journalists over the last fortnight, I believe. What happened during that process, and what were the biggest or the most significant things that you and reporters learnt?
So the pre-trial hearings are a time for the judge and the two parties to attend to housekeeping issues, legal issues, you know, administrative issues. But the most significant thing to come out was, first of all, there was a non-publication order on a lot of details to do with the charges. And then the judge also heard from the prosecution an application to be able to argue tendency and coincidence evidence. And all of that argument was suppressed for a few days by a non-publication order. And then eventually the non-publication order was lifted, so we were able to hear the detail that the prosecution was going to present.
Okay, so let's talk about some of that detail. How many alleged victims are involved in this case, and what do we know about some of the details of the allegations that came out through that pre-trial process?
There are 6 complainants. Some of them have multiple charges that have been brought on their behalf. One has 9, one has 8. The others just have a couple, one has 1. They range from touching on the bottom, the inner thigh, the genitalia, and kissing. And what the prosecution was arguing was that some of these charges, even though the complainants didn't know each other, have a lot in common. For example, you know, there were a number of times when Jones was alleged to have kissed different complainants on the lips, and a number of times he was alleged to have touched them over their clothes on their genitalia while they were driving. So the prosecutor used that as a way of saying that Mr. Jones has an apparent interest in much younger men and has a pattern of offending.
What has Alan Jones or his legal team said in relation to these charges?
They very strongly say that he's not guilty of any of the charges. Obviously, he's pleaded not guilty. He said outside court that he's never assaulted anyone. His lawyers have said that they have proof that these things never happened, they intend to defend him vigorously.
So as you've alluded to, Amanda, we can't name those six complainants. Why? And will their identity remain protected throughout what is looking like a rather long trial?
Yeah, this is one of the trickiest things for reporting this trial is because they are alleged sexual assault victims, they are by law given anonymity. The six of them will give evidence in court, but it will be a closed court to the public. The media will be allowed in, but we will never be able to say who they are, even if we see their faces and hear their voices. The only case in which you would be able to identify them is if they self-identified, perhaps at the end of the trial.
The other thing about this case that we should talk about is that it is being heard before a judge. There will be no jury. Why?
The case stayed in a local court because the most serious charges of aggravated assault were dropped about a year ago. If they had been included, it would have moved up to a district court and it would have been held in front of a jury. But because they dropped some of those charges, which related to a complainant who was under Jones's care. He was an employee, and that's where the aggravated assault came in. But that fell away, and so it stayed in the local court, which means it's heard by a judge alone.
And so what is the maximum sentence that Jones is looking at for these offences if he is found guilty?
So in the local court, the maximum sentence for multiple offences is 5 years imprisonment, and at 85 years old, that would be a significant penalty.
Now, we're bracing for a lengthy run of hearings. The trial is set to run for potentially up to 4 months. Do you have any indication, Amanda, of how many witnesses will be called, who may be amongst them, and do we know if Alan Jones will take the stand?
So Alan Jones will certainly be in court in the beginning. We don't know yet whether he's chosen to give evidence, but he will be sitting in the dock on day one. There may be an application at some point for him to watch proceedings from home via video link, given his age, and there has been discussion of that, but they haven't actually made an application yet. There are 76 witnesses listed, but we don't know who any of them are. There's been very little information coming out about how the trial's going to run. The only information we've got has been gleaned in bits and pieces from the pre-trial hearings. They haven't actually released the Crown case in detail or anything like that, or how they're going to defend it. So all we know is that there will be, you know, six complainants, they'll give evidence via CCTV, and there'll be 76 witnesses who we will be able to name unless there are particular suppression orders on them, and they will be coming into the court.
And Amanda, I understand one of the complainants will be up giving evidence on day one of the trial. Is that right?
Yes, that was quite a surprise. They said that as well as the opening arguments, we would have Complainant Jay coming along. Complainant Jay is the youngest of the six. He was 17 at the time of the alleged incident. He'd known Jones since he was quite young. And we've also heard that Jones gave him a mobile phone and paid for it. So we've got little bits and pieces of what allegedly went on.
Amanda, these charges were first laid back in 2024. As you've mentioned, there were additional charges that have been withdrawn since. Can you take us back to November of that year when Jones was first arrested? What happened at the time and what were the circumstances that preceded his arrest?
So he was dramatically arrested and taken into custody early in the morning in late 2024 at his Harbourside apartment. Obviously, it was a huge media spectacle at the time, seeing somebody of his reputation being arrested. He was, of course, released on bail. The charges have varied over time as police have added some complainants, added charges, and then dropped them again. So they were as high as 11 complainants and I think 44 charges, and then they dropped down a couple of times. We don't know why. That was something either between the prosecution and the defence, or perhaps the alleged victims themselves. But the arrest came about after police read a report in the Sydney Morning and Herald and The Age by Kate Clymont, which detailed a number of alleged offences by Jones. They formed Strike Force Bonifin and they commenced a long investigation, and different alleged victims came forward and they built a case from then. And the police have acknowledged McClymont's reporting as a factor in this case.
We'll be right back. Amanda, this trial will draw a massive amount of media attention, as did the initial arrest, and we've seen that media presence throughout the last 2 years. Before he retired in 2020, where did Alan Jones sit in the lives, or fit in the lives, of Sydneysiders and Australians? Can you remind us of the influence, status and the power that he held?
Mm. Well, for decades, three if not four decades, he's been a very prominent figure in Australian society. I mean, obviously more in Sydney because his radio show was in Sydney, but he had a national profile as well. He was coach of the Wallabies. He was a speechwriter to a prime minister. He was a very young English master. But then he really hit his straps when he, in the late 80s, when he became a radio broadcaster. He ended up getting, you know, the biggest audience of any radio broadcaster. It will probably never be repeated because it was a time when radio was really important in the news cycle. It is less so now, obviously. But he won an incredible 226 rating surveys when he was at 2GB. And, you know, he would MC important events. He gave speeches. He was friends with politicians. There was famously a story that John Howard appointed a special minister for Alan Jones just to deal with Jones's requests, because he was very demanding. He would get into work very early and start sending out requests for interviews. He was a very hard worker.
And but there were also many on-air scandals that throughout his 3 decades on air.
True. He had many, many run-ins with regulators, but also with the law. He was found to have defamed numerous people, famously a $3.7 million payout to the Wagner family from Toowoomba. But he also obviously starred alongside the late John Laws in the Cash for Comment inquiry in 1999, where they were both found to have been giving corporations airtime in return for money. But he escaped that unscathed and then turned up at 2GB and went on to even greater things. At 2GB, there was an adverse finding against him by the regulator for stirring up racial hatred in the lead up to the Cronulla riots. He fought that strongly, but eventually was made to apologise on air. And then, of course, he made some misogynist and sexist statements about Julia Gillard and Jacinda Ardern. And that really led to his slow demise, because the public started fighting back and lobbying advertisers to boycott the station. The station started losing money, 2GB, and which was then taken over by Nine Radio. And so he became a liability, even though he was still bringing in the ratings, he wasn't bringing in the revenue.
Amanda, a long career there for you to summarise. Thanks for that. I'm looking forward to having you back in the studio with me each week throughout this trial for our new podcast, Alan Jones on Trial. We'll be updating listeners on the case put forward by the prosecution, what the defence arguments are, and of course, all the evidence that will be heard through the hearing. So looking forward to that.
Me too.
Okay. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Noah.
That was media correspondent Amanda Mead. You can find more of her work on theguardian.com, and we've linked to her latest piece about the trial on the Full Story page. If you or anyone you know needs help, you can contact the National Domestic, Family and Sexual Violence Counselling Service, 1-800-RESPECT. That's 1-800-737-732. And you can keep across all the developments in the case on Guardian Australia's new weekly podcast, Alan Jones on Trial. Episodes will be in your feed each Friday morning. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Taylor Strano, sound design and mixing by Jacob Brown. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. I'm Noor Haidar. Thanks for listening.